Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
The next to the last verse, that's the one we are examining in 1 John chapter 5. When we complete this one, and then the one after it, we'll be done with our study of this five-chapter epistle. But 1 John 5:20 gives us four truths that every Christian needs to know. Here's what it says. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and eternal life. I have summarized these four statements, these four truths, with single word identifiers. And what we have is, number one, revelation; two, enlightenment; three, union; and four, divinity. Beginning with revelation, and we know that the Son of God has come. That's the ultimate revelation. The Son of God has come. The Son of God is God the Son. God has come. God the Son is God who came from heaven to earth, took upon Him human nature without relinquishing His divine nature, and He has come to earth. He's come to us. He's come to rescue us. He's come to teach us. He's come to reveal God to us. He has come. And we know, this is something that Christians know, this is something that everybody needs to know, and we know that the Son of God has come. What a statement! What a truth! What a certainty! What an enormous fact, which is really the most important fact in all the world. But there's more, and we pause on this Monday, March 18, to welcome you to the Beacon broadcast and to thank you for considering our financial needs in order to remain teaching God's Word on this station. So moving from the first statement, the first truth, revelation, we come to the second one, which is enlightenment. Because it goes on to say, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding in order that we might know Him who is true. Enlightenment. He has come and has given us understanding in order that we might know Him who is true. What do we learn here? Well, the source of enlightenment is God. He has come and He has given. And what this is telling us is that the understanding we have of God comes from God Himself, because it must. Because the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man cannot perceive God accurately, cannot know God aright. The natural man has only a very dim concept of God, and he needs enlightenment from God Himself in order to understand and know Him who is true. And so the source of the enlightenment is God Himself. Who are the recipients of this enlightenment? The recipients are identified in this text as us. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us in understanding. What does he mean by us? Does he mean all humanity? The Son of God has come and has given to the human race, all of us, an understanding that in order that we might know him who is true. Well, if that's what it means, and some, of course, would take it to mean that, that's the only time this plural pronoun us has been used in this way in John's epistle. Every other time he's used it, it is clear that he's talking about we who are believers. John the Apostle including himself in that number, but he's talking about Christians. He's talking about born-again ones. God has given to believers, not to all people, but to believers, an understanding in order that we might know him who is true. And therefore, what he's telling us is that Christians have spiritual perception that others do not have. This statement, along with similar statements elsewhere in the Scripture, tells us that the Bible is a closed book to those who are not taught by the Spirit. Now, when I say it's a closed book, I don't mean that there are people who are not capable of opening the book and reading the book and even understanding a lot of things about it. I know people like that. I know people who have studied the Bible as a book of literature and as a book of history, and even as a book of religion that records the religion of an ancient people, and have even written books about the Bible, and yet clearly do not understand the main reason for the Bible being given, namely to reveal God to men. And it's amazing how much people can learn about the Bible without really learning much about the God who gave the Bible. And sometimes we scratch our heads and say, how is that possible? How is it possible that a person who, in some cases, spends their lives studying the Bible and maybe even teaching the Bible, still cannot seem to understand the God of the Bible? Well, here's the explanation. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding in order that we might know him who is true. Christians have a spiritual perception that others do not, and the Bible, in its basic essence of what it is revealing, is a closed book to those who are not taught by the Spirit. And that's why one of the songs we sing in our church says at one point, pray that the Spirit wise will open blinded eyes. Indeed, that's exactly how we must pray. Pray that God's Spirit will open blinded eyes, because until he does, our eyes remain blind. But there is enlightenment, and it comes from God himself, and it is given to his children. That's a wonderful thing to know. But what is the nature of this enlightenment? Because we read he has given us understanding. Understanding. The word in the original language is a compound word that is used 12 times in the New Testament, but only here in this verse, the next to the closing verse in the first epistle of John. It's a simple compound word. It puts two words together, and they mean through the mind. Dianous. Dianoia is the Greek word, and noia is a form of the word nous, mind. And so this word, understanding, means through the mind. Well, what does that mean? Well, it's telling us that this is reasoning which leads to perception. Bear with me. It is logical thinking that acquires information. In other words, this understanding that God gives to us, opening our hearts and minds to understand it, does not come to us without the exercise of our minds. What the Holy Spirit does is give us the ability and disposition to understand the meaning of the Bible, and in this case, to give us the disposition and ability to understand the meaning of the coming of the Son of God. Putting together what we've seen so far, we've got this phrase, remember, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding in order that we might know Him who is true. And this enlightenment is an ability to understand by the exercise of our mind, our thinking processes, our logic to understand God, to understand Christ, to understand the Incarnation, to understand the meaning of Christ coming, why He came and what He accomplished in His coming. And though there are brilliant people who read the Bible, unless they are given this ability by the Holy Spirit of God, they're not going to be able to reason their way to this understanding. But those to whom God gives this ability will understand, but it's not just an instantaneous understanding that bypasses the mind in order to teach us something. It's an ability, a disposition to exercise our mind in order to lay hold on this truth. And what is it that we are endeavoring to understand? He tells us, it is in order that we might know Him who is true. The purpose for which God enlightens our minds, the purpose for which God gives us understanding, is in order that we might know Him who is true. He doesn't give us this ability for simple personal satisfaction so that we can say, okay, now I understand. Thank you. I was a little curious about that. And now I understand, and now I can go on to something else. But no, it's something more important than that. He gives us this ability to enable us to know God, the God who is the true God, given us the understanding in order that we might know Him who is true. That is real, genuine, not imaginary, not false. He gives us this ability so that we might know the true God and that we might grow in our knowledge of Him. And we know that the Son of God has come, that's Revelation, and has given us understanding in order that we might know Him who is true. That's enlightenment. And those whom God enlightens, those to whom God gives this ability to lay hold upon essential truth, the central meaning of the Bible, the revelation of God in the Bible, an understanding of God come in the flesh, and what that reveals to us about ourselves and about God, about our sin and our need of a Savior, about what Christ did in order to save sinners, all of that is given to us in order that we might know Him who is true, and that we might continue to exercise our mind to grow in our understanding of Him who is true. And the question that I pose to you at this point is, are you intentionally growing in your knowledge of God? And I follow that up with a similar question, which is namely, what are you doing to grow in your knowledge of God? Are you doing anything? Anything intentionally to take advantage of the ability that God has given to you, assuming that you are a Christian, in order to know and in order to grow into a greater knowledge of God Himself. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.